I want to talk about miraculous moments that move us forward, part two. We shared how when we saw that Gideon and how God through the angel had come to him and spoke to him, and he says, "Well, where, you know, if all of this is so true, where be all the miracles that our fathers have told us about?" And I believe that some of the people are asking that question. If God, you with me, where's all the miracles? Where's the things that supposedly verify that you with us? I think we're looking for the wrong thing to verify that God is with us. Amen. I'm going to share something with you tonight. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, he gave me the message, but in a few minutes, he changed so much around about the same message that I had. I said, okay, I got this now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I told him how awesome he was. Oh, I'm for real. I told him how awesome he was. Well, how awesome he is, but I'm just speaking from, it was a past tense when I was talking to him before, but, you know, hallelujah. So go with me in this very familiar passage of scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We don't cover it before, but I saw something I ain't never seen, you know, so we're going to share what I never shared before about what I seen before, but never saw before. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Now, the Bible says, it came to pass after this also. Now, it is interesting that it said this came to pass after this also. So, this came to pass after this also, or it came to pass after this also. So, we need to know what is the it that came to pass. Because if we don't know the it that came to pass, we won't have the context of what's coming to pass now. Okay. I'm excited, y'all. Y'all going to have to get with me. You got to turn the Bibles faster. You're going to have to click and find the page first so we can go. We got to go tonight, y'all. We got to go. Hallelujah. We got to go. Y'all don't know. I go all day trying to contain this. I'm trying to read other articles, look at other stuff, think about other things. Come home, my wife come home, like, hey, you know, look, I was like, hey, you know, still trying to play it all down. Hey, you know, I'm ready when I get here. I am flat out ready. Hallelujah. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, we find out, okay, it came to pass after this also. What is the after this also? Because we have to understand this. If you go back to chapter 18 and chapter 19, and I'm going to cover a little bit so we don't have to go there. Now, what's interesting is, you know this part, you know this from reading, those of you who have studied the scriptures, you have read this and you've come to see this. There is a league between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat, if I'm not mistaken, gives his son in marriage to Ahab's daughter. So they make a league. And you have to understand that the kings would make leagues through marriage. So in other words, you don't have to do a war. This way we come together, nobody loses. One, you're your daughter, so we're not going to do nothing to hurt you. You're not going to do nothing to hurt us. So this is forward a little bit. So Ahab says, listen, man, you know, let's go over here and get Ramoth Gilead. Let's go together and get this. Well, you know, Jehoshaphat says to him, listen, you know, my people are your people. We in this thing together. And so he says, well, let's get a word from God. See what God is saying. Jehoshaphat wants to know, what is the Lord saying? Well, he says, I got 400 prophets. So he brings, watch this, 400 prophets. That number ring a bell, anybody? How many did Jezebel have? So, well, we got these 400 prophets. Let's go get them. And they said, well, what are we going to do? You know, what's going to happen? They want to know, the kings are together and they're sitting there trying to find out what's going to happen if we go to war. Well, this one guy breaks out with these horns and he says, you're going to push Syria back with these horns. God's going to give you victory like this. And all 400 of them says the same kind of stuff. So Jehoshaphat says, man, is it any real prophet here? You got any, you know, I don't know what made him recognize that they weren't the real deal. But I mean, it's an interesting question because he asked for another prophet. And Ahab said, well, we got this one, but I hate him. He don't never say nothing good about me. And Jehoshaphat said, you shouldn't talk like that, man. You know, let's see what the Lord is saying. So, you know, they go down to get him. And the guy to go get him said, listen, all 400 of the prophets have said good stuff on how the king's going to win. Don't you go in there and mess nothing up. You need to say the same thing. I mean, you read the text. He literally tells him that. And he said, I ain't going to say nothing except what the Lord tells me. So he goes back. They bring him up out the cell. And he says, the king says, so, you know, what is the Lord saying? He said, you're going to win. Go ahead and knock everybody out. And he said, see, he said, haven't I told you to always tell me the truth when I talk to you? Well, he was being sarcastic. Then the Spirit of God fell on him. And he started prophesying. I see Israel scattered because they have no leader. He dead. Okay, now the king he talking to is the leader. So he tell him, you're going to die. It's not exactly exciting news if you're the king. He say, see, I told you, Jehoshaphat, he never tell me nothing good. I'm trying to give you all of the story so we can move right into this. Because you have to see, and it came to pass after this also, so we have to know what the after this also is. So that's what we're doing here. So they're still talking, and he says, you know, well, matter of fact, let me tell you how we going to win this. I saw the Lord sitting in heaven, and he said, how can we trick or how can we get Ahab to go to war? He said that they were sitting around and a lying spirit came and said, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll get in all 400 of his false prophets. I just thought that was a good Selah moment. So I'm telling you, when you watch, everybody's saying the same thing. Why don't you just question a little bit more? Just a little bit more. So anyway, long story short, they move on and, you know, they decide to go to war, just like God said. And they go to war, and Ahab gets this wonderful idea. I'm going to dress like a common person, and I'm going to let you stay in your royalty. So, and you know, I just wonder sometimes, and I hope you can see some of the character of Jehoshaphat in this and how he is. Because Jehoshaphat stays in his kingly attire, and they go to war. Well, the Syrian army has been instructed, only fight with the king. Don't even worry about the rest of the people. Well, the only one that's looking kingly is Jehoshaphat. They run up on Jehoshaphat and he screamed like a little girl. Read the text. You'll find it right there. And they find out, oh, this ain't the king. So God delivers him out of that because they turn around and just let him go. And the Bible says somebody, a random person, takes an arrow, shoots it. But that ain't the thing. It's where the arrow lands. It lands in between the armor. I mean, can you imagine just the crack in between where the armor is? A random arrow. And that random arrow is how Ahab ends up dying. The Bible says he props himself up in the chariot facing the enemy and he dies in the evening. Well, that would be interesting if that's the way the story ends, but it doesn't. Because I believe it's in chapter 19, a prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and he says, listen, you have allied yourself with the wrong person. And God's angry with you. But what's good about you is you got a heart for God. So after his heart for God, he goes and he talks about, he's doing a reformation throughout Israel. And I'll let you read that later. But I wanted you to see what the prophet said to him. Because I think that's very important as we look at miracles that move us forward, part two. So this is, it came to pass after this also. So this was the after this also. You don't ally yourself with a bad king. God delivered you out of that situation. You went back and you're fixing, you know, you're doing a reformation, if you will, for Israel. Okay? Now, so let's look at the first verse here. Came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So what are we able to glean from this? First off, doing the will of God or the work of God does not make us immune from attacks of the enemy. Because he's doing the work of God. Wonderful Reformation. Getting people back on track. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2 here. Oh, Holy Ghost, I feel you about to knock this out the park. Boy, I tell you, you are awesome. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Anjadid, because that's what that means. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. Now, the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. And you say, well, Pastor, he should fear. All these people are coming against him. Things are looking, real bad. These overwhelming odds. But I want to suggest something to you that I believe the Holy Spirit opened up to me. That may be what some of us are dealing with. Why is Jehoshaphat really fearing? Let me suggest something to you. Miss Jackie, can you do Job 3 and 25, King James, please? Why is Jehoshaphat really fearing? This man of God who's making a reformation, who's bringing people back to God, who's making sure that they got good judges in the land, making sure that they're dealing with the things properly. The Bible says, this is what Job was able to say, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Could it be that we really fear because there's something in us that we're afraid of happening?
Amen.
I mean, there's, you know, we look good. We say the right thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But Jehoshaphat, can I just cut to the chase for you? What did Jehoshaphat do with Ahab? He made a league. Did you feel like God couldn't take care of you by yourself? Did you feel like it was just so overwhelming that you just had to join league with somebody else? So God delivered you out of that. But he has brought upon you the thing that you greatly feared, because now ain't nobody to help you. So, let's look at us. Could God possibly deliver us out of those things? That we made some leagues, we done some things that we probably weren't exactly as good as they should have been, and he delivered us out of it. But because still on the inside of us is the fear. So now what God does is say, I'm going to uniquely position you where there is no other help. Oh, my goodness. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. So now the thing which you greatly feared is being in a situation for Jehoshaphat where there is no one else to be a league. Let's go back to chapter 20, verse 2 again. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude. Oh, you made a league before and you only had a few people to deal with. Now here comes a great multitude and there's nobody to make a league with. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. Said, man, I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. Yes. Now, I ain't saying Jehoshaphat's a bad guy. I'm just saying Jehoshaphat was real. Mm-hmm. But, we look at it, oh, he set himself to seek the Lord. But that's why the Lord, I believe, he dealt with. He said, Darryl, go back and look at what came to pass first. First, he had a league with an evil person because he wanted to be protected. He had a fear of loss in his life. If we're not careful, yeah, we'll move in the things of God, but you'll do it with a fear of loss. okay, you restoring all of the things back, but are you doing it because you're afraid of God, or are you doing it because you're committed to him? Jehoshaphat moved, and it looked like he was setting up judges left and right. Okay, make sure you deal with this according to the word of God. Make sure you do this. Make sure you... It all looked real good, but there's something about what Jehoshaphat's fearing on the inside. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is this out of commitment or fear of loss? It's quiet in here this evening. See, because we can look good. Jehoshaphat looked like he had it going on. Oh, man, you setting up. But remember what the prophet has said. He said, God's angry with you because you set up a bad alliance. You should have never done that. So now all of a sudden, here come, can you, if you really read this and you see, there are so many people coming at him that he has no idea what possibly to do. God said, okay. You see, this is God gonna get it out of you one way or the other.
Yes.
You could you could lay on the table and be still and let him operate. Or you could do like folks used to say, I was running from the Lord. What are you running to that he's not at? Dr. Hall is just a sigh, huh? So overwhelming odds are scary, especially when you fear it already. See, what happens when that thing that you greatly fear come upon you? See, you know, all of our fears are not necessarily the same, but there's something. Verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, we all will eventually face overwhelming odds. Every one of us. Something, whatever you're dealing with, you're going to face odds that are overwhelming in it, and you're going to have to deal with it some kind of way. Me too, you know, it just happens. Maybe your thing, you might be health conscious, and then one day you get a health challenge. Well, see, we all go like, ooh, she's so healthy. Ooh, he's so healthy. They're so health conscious. But is it really out of a health consciousness, or is it a fear of loss of health? You know, that's why we've got one thing about being with God, you all. And I'm not trying to rush through this tonight, because I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to us in some really. Tonight, I feel like this is one of those times where God go deep. This is below surface here, because sometimes we do things, but it's what we're doing it out of. It's the motivation that what we're doing it out of that God wants to deal with, because man can't see your motive, but God can. See, some of us are good at telling a story a certain way. That's why the Bible says there's two sides to every story seems right till you hit the other side. So there's two sides, you know. So when we tell a story, are we telling it so we look good, or are we telling the real story? I mean, yeah, you told the story, but what was the motive for telling the story? I'm just throwing my notes away, because this is just as he just was really just rearranging a lot of stuff here. Verse 5. So Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. So now he establishes that, okay, God, you rule, and we know nothing is too hard for you. Now this is what he's saying. I'm just going slow tonight. That's what he's saying. Yeah, he is. He's saying the truth. Verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? He said, listen, we only hear because of what you've already done. That's true. Verse 8. They dwelt there and have built thee a sanctuary there and for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. In other words, Lord, we're only doing what you said we could do in your word. He said, listen, you know, you build a sanctuary here. Anything happen, you come here and you call upon me. I'm going to deliver you in your affliction. Verse 10, now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. He said, Lord, a situation you told us not to deal with has come back at us now. When we were coming up out of Egypt, you said, don't mess with them. So we run around them just like you said. But now look what they're doing. They're coming back at us. I want to make sure we understand all of this. Verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So listen, we don't have the ability to handle this. And then on top of that, we really don't even know what to do. Lord, we ain't looking nowhere but to you. See how God made his focus quite narrow? See, that's what I'm saying. You have to understand something. God loves us enough to deal with us. Let me say that again. God loves us enough to deal with us. Sometimes, you know, I'm not the most confrontational person. I'm going to avoid confrontation until it's a point that I just need to deal with it with you. And you know, I'm not real emotional in the sense, oh, I ain't gonna get up. I'm gonna kind of say what's wrong, and you know, we're gonna deal with it from there. But what's interesting, God never has a problem with confrontation. I mean, what you gonna say to him? I mean, you know, now see, you know, as people, you know, we say, well, what they going to do? What they might say? What they might think? God ain't going through all of that. He's secure in himself. I mean, you know. So the confrontation is an opportunity for change. You know, confrontation is not a bad thing. But, I mean, you know, you try to get along with everybody. Amen. God ain't got to get along with you. I mean, because what he say is right. We got to get along with him. Amen. Well, I'm just saying. So now verse 11, he says how they reward. So they want to take away what you have given us and we can't stop them. That's what he's saying. We don't know what to do, but we're looking at you for guidance. Verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. This affect everybody. Now, well, let me stay, keep moving. I do want to ask something. It says, all Judah stood before the Lord. How long do you stand before God waiting on guidance? I'm going to just show you something that I think is very interesting. Let me see if y'all were following along. Who's praying? Who's making this prayer? Jehoshaphat. Okay, I want to make sure if y'all got that. So now, between verse 13 and verse 14, they standing. Scripture don't say how long they standing. Everybody don't heard Jehoshaphat praying this prayer. Verse 14, then upon Jehaziel. Wait a minute. What about Jehoshaphat? Just saying, if anybody else is reading with me here. So the word comes through Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, he wasn't praying. Jehoshaphat was praying. So Jehoshaphat gives the request, but he gives the answer. So how long are we going to stand and wait on the answer? Sometimes we expect it from the wrong people. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. All y'all listen, and the king. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not what? Afraid. Notice what he started off with. Let's deal with the fear issue. Yeah, I'm serious. You got to say, I said, Lord, I was getting this. I didn't even write all of it down. I was just, wow, Holy Ghost, you are bad. Because we have things that we're really afraid of, you all. Yes. We're saying, okay, God, I need you to come through. Okay, let me ask you something. Now, this is for real. This is serious. Why do you really want him to come through? Is it so you don't look bad? I know this is deep, y'all. I know. But why is it we really want God to come through? Is it really about him getting glory? Or is it just so we get what we want and not look bad? Holy Ghost, you all up in here tonight. Okay, God is still able. Come on, y'all, what a song at? God is able. Come on now. We ain't throwing that out. Come on. I'm just saying we're going back to looking at why we're really in this and what is God really positioning us to do that's beyond what people may see. See, when you get to the place where, listen, God, I don't care. It's just about you getting glory. Oh, it's on there. And nothing is impossible. But if we still cost, you know, God, I need you to bring me out of debt. So, you know, I don't want people looking at me when they repossess my car. Now, don't get me wrong. God ain't into you being embarrassed. Okay, don't get me wrong now. I'm that's not what I'm saying. You seen when he was at the wedding. Turn folks water into wine so ain't nobody embarrassed. So Jesus is not into you being embarrassed. But when are we going to get over ourselves? How long is it going to take us before we get over ourselves? How long are we going to continue to allow situations to move us one way or the other simply because we want to look good? Don't make me work too hard tonight, y'all. So, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. You know, he says, listen, first off, don't be afraid. I don't need you to be all confused on what to do. You know why we're confused? Because we don't know what to do in the sense of we tried to figure it out and every way we tried to do it doesn't work. I mean, where do you run when a multitude of people are coming after you? Every way that Jehoshaphat has looked at this does not work for him escaping. God will put us or allow us to put ourselves in positions where every way that we know for it to work will not work. And the question becomes, now what you going to do? Because now I'm dealing with what you really fear. The Bible says Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. He was afraid, but he went to God. What we have to be careful of, sometimes we get afraid when we do the wrong thing. If you notice, what I find really interesting in this passage of scripture is God has moved him away from having alliances. The last time he made the alliance, the person he made the alliance with died. God spared him, but the person he had the alliance with died. So now you can't go back that way because you know that ain't working. So what you gonna do now? Okay, y'all ready? Now we love this. Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. So he said, don't even be afraid or confused about what you're facing. Then he says this, we love this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So, okay, could it be all the stuff you're going through? It ain't even about you. I mean, what a word. Jehoshaphat praying his heart out. God speak back and say, you know what? This ain't even your stuff to handle. What? You mean I've been racking my brain? What? I've been trying to figure this out and it ain't even about me handling it? Right. So, excuse me, this is my point to interject something. So what if he wouldn't have went to the Lord? When did you find out that it wasn't yours to deal with anyway? Could it be that we're dealing with things that we're not supposed to deal with because we ain't going to God about it? All of the time, God was putting you in a place for a miracle, but you didn't go to him about it. So now you're trying to figure out how to make it happen. What's interesting, now watch this. What's interesting, Jehoshaphat did not go to God with a complaint. He went to God, told him about how great he was. Do we go to God and tell him about, you know, how wonderful you've been, what you've done in our lives? We said, you know what, this, now, you know, we're here only because of what you've done. Lord, the progress that I've made thus far, I'm here because of your grace and your might. This is, you know, this wasn't my aptitude. This wasn't my who I know and all that. He didn't go with the alliances. I'm just making sure y'all was reading the same text I was reading. But then he said, Lord, part of the problem that we have here is because you told us not to deal with this. And we obeyed you. Now what you told me not to deal with has come back upon us. Lord, they're rewarding us wrong. Now, most of us, let's be honest, we wouldn't have made it that long in the prayer. It'd have been our complaint about what's happening to me. God, I don't believe. Oh, God. Oh, see, he slowed everything down. See, I think in prayer, we need to slow down things. Let's rehearse some stuff. God, I thank you for how you blessed me to get here. It is absolutely amazing. God, I didn't even know how we was going to get here, Lord. This is wonderful. I tell you what, you have been awesome to me. Now, Lord, you did. Now, the promises you have made me, God, they have come to pass. You're making some stuff happen in my life. But now, Lord, there was something you told me to, Lord, not to deal with this. This is what you said. Lord, I obeyed you with all my heart. Now, Lord, can you believe what they're doing now? Look how Jehoshaphat's talking to God. And you know what Jehoshaphat does? Be quiet. You know what we do? Okay, God, this is what you should do with them. Three strikes of lightning, they'll be out. I know it. He did not give God the plan on how to deal with them. He said, listen, we don't even know what to do. We have no might against them. But we're looking to you for guidance. How often do we say, Lord, listen, I'm looking to you for guidance. In other words, Lord, I'm so dependent on you. Yes. See, I think sometimes as Christians, Justin, are we recording this? I need this CD. I think sometimes as Christians, we think because we have become older in the things of God that we're less dependent on him. In other words, you know, we almost think it's like our children when they grow up. Like, okay, now as you get older, You don't need me now. You can move on out and you can know you be on your own. When are you on your own in God? It does. See, being independent of God is sin. Everything that's not done of faith is sin. So if we're not in faith, which is the faith that God has given us, meaning that we're independent of God, that's the way the enemy's trying to operate. God wants us to be dependent on him. That's not a state of immaturity. That's a state of maturity. So Jehoshaphat goes all the way back and say, you know what? Watch this. I ain't leaning on my alliances now. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. Glory. Y'all with me tonight?
Yes.
Lord, my complete guidance, reliance, dependency is on you.
Yes.
You see where we are. You see where you've brought us. You know what you said. Look at what they're dealing with. Look what they're trying to do to us. And we can't do nothing about it. Lord, we're looking at you. What you want to do? I have no suggestions. It wasn't even about his opinion. Y'all okay tonight?
Yes.
So now you see, God comes back, and that's when he speaks to Jehaziel. Now, okay. Verse 16, let's jump down there. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zerul. Now, I want to share something with you. Because God tells you to face it doesn't mean you have to fight it. Did you get that? Because God tells you to face it doesn't mean that you'll have to fight it. He said, tomorrow I need you to go down there. I ain't tell you to fight. I just said go down there. All right. Y'all going to give me a few minutes. Verse 17, he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Facing something is not the same as fighting something. Don't overanalyze what God said. Facing something is not the same as fighting something. He said, I need you to go down there. You're going to see all of this. Need you to get up tomorrow, go on down there. But he never said, go fight. Matter of fact, he said, stand still. Don't do nothing. Well, you know, okay, I'm sharpening my sword tonight. I know what God said, but I know just in case. See, here we go. You overanalyze it. He said, you're going to face it, but you ain't got to fight it. So I need you to go. Just go. Get up and go. Well, what are we going to do? Get up and go. Wait a minute. A minute ago, you were so terrified. Now all he did was say, go. I'm learning that, you know, some of the greatest miracles come from the easiest things to obey and do. All right, Naaman, you want to get rid of leprosy? I just need you to dip 7 times. Okay, go out there. 7 times. That's all I need you to do. You want me to go over there in that dirty water and dip? I can't believe it. Oh, my God. So you want to walk around a leper. Easy miracle. Easy. It's hot going in the water anyway. But no, I can't. I just can't see how God going to use that water 7 times. Got to be a lake nearer than that. You see how we overanalyze stuff? Jesus, the man at the gate of beautiful, you've been there all of this time and stuff. Jesus says, you know, well, do you want to be healed? Well, every time I try to get up and go, he ain't ask you your history. Stop overanalyzing it. Do you want to be whole? Easy miracles. So, well, you know what? We got 5,000 folks that's hungry. That ain't counting women and children. So what are we going to do? You know what Jesus said? Make the people sit down. Y'all want to eat? Sit down. You want to eat? Sit down. Well, I don't know. You know, how are we going to get to the store from here? Sitting down. See, because he tells you to face it, don't mean that you're going to have to fight it. Don't overanalyze what God says. Because soon as God get ready to do a miracle in us, sometimes the next thing we do is trying to figure out God move before he make it. That ain't what he asked us to do. He says believe. That's what we're charged to doing, is believing. I believe God going to make a way. I have no idea how he's going to make the way. Pastor, what are you going to do? I don't know. And don't try to make me say something. I don't know. All I know, he's going to do it. Well, how you know that? He don't done it before. I ain't know how he was going to do it then. And I'm okay with that. I'm serious, you all. I am learning to come to grips with, I can believe God without knowing how he's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm learning that relieves me of the mental pressure of trying to figure out everything. Because, I mean, I'm you know, maybe you like I was or whatever, but I had to, you know, he gonna use Sister So-and-so way back there in the back. She gonna do this. And, she, and then all of a sudden he don't do that. And then you mad. I know you ain't gonna say that, but you mad. You mad because it was your pride that thought you had figured God out. And he said, "Nope, I'm not doing it your way." And there's something you absolutely do not expect. I'm gonna make sure I can recount this. The Lord had shared something with me one time about getting something. Now, I'll give you an instance for me. I'll give you enough so you can understand the story. I had this, y'all remember, there's a website where you could go and find lost money. Yes. How many people knew that already? How many people been to the website already? If you ain't been, you need to go. Because you may have some money there. You might put a deposit down on an apartment or something, and you don't move 7, 8, 10 times. Well, you never get your deposit back. That money's sitting there with us, so you need to go look at that. Well, I had an inkling that I don't know how that was, but I felt that it was something out there for me. I just felt that. I think I got some money from that little money from that, but that wasn't it. Now, how are you going to get, the Lord tells you he's going to give you some money, or you're going to get some money. And where is it coming from? Okay, let's do all the places we know. You know, that's what we do first, you know, huh? My mama, my daddy, we all these places we like, you know, your loved ones, blah, 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 blah. Well, what happened? Ain't none of them got no money. So, now, you know, then you get this, just give me a few minutes. Because I want us to understand tonight. I don't want us to leave it out here. I want us to understand this. Because I believe God is making some miraculous miracles take place in our lives to move us forward. I mean, seriously. But we got to. He's moving us where our mentality is not the same anymore. So you go through these things, then you start to, you know, when you exhaust all the methods, you know, you start saying stuff like, well, you know, maybe I'm gonna run into somebody on the street, and you know, the Lord gonna give me a word. They're gonna say, you know what, God wanted me to bless you. Come on, y'all. You know. Come on now. You know we start writing off the story. Yeah. God gonna use me mighty today. Yeah. Let me just walk slow in the aisle here. This might be the day. I see that person coming right there. Lord, what are you saying? Yeah, I see now. Yeah, huh? Your daughter. Yeah, the Lord has a word for it. Yeah, huh? You know, we don't. And the person don't even notice you. You ain't no word, no nothing. You just, man. Now, see what happens. Now, I know y'all don't want to say this tonight. Well, what happens? You start to go home and you're a little frustrated. Because, see, what the frustrating thing is on the inside, you know that there is something. But no. See, here it is. You don't know how to get it. But what God did was he put it beyond your ability anyway. So what happened is, now, okay, this is, I'm going to give you this is free tonight. What happened is you stayed with God long enough to find out what he wanted to do, but not long enough to know how he wanted to do it. Most of us run with what? Oh, God said, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. And that's good for 30 days until you don't know how. That's got a 30-day time limit on it. After that, you sitting in the back looking. Is Pastor going to ever speak to me? What's the Lord saying? I don't even feel like coming to church no more now. Nah. Oh, but you was excited because you knew God was going to do something. Because you stayed with him long enough to know what, but not how. So I was going through all that. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help y'all. So I just finally, I'm like, well, you know what? I'm serious. I just get to the point, Lord, okay, fine. I start saying stuff like this. Lord, you saved me when I didn't even know how I was going to get saved. If you could handle that, I think everything else in my life, you got covered. I mean, I started looking at things. Okay, I got saved. You got to understand, you may not look at this like this, but it's still the truth. You didn't know how you was going to get saved, but he saved you. He brought you to the point where you recognize the reality of who Jesus is. And he did that without you. So I start thinking, God, if you can do that without me knowing, I think you can handle everything else. Yes. So I got to the point, Candace, where I was just like, this whole, because it was a money thing. I'm like, this whole money thing, whatever, I got a letter. Letter out of nowhere. When I say nowhere, I mean nowhere. I mean, I think the letter had to find my address. No, seriously. Like, I've moved since the last address they had. It found me and said, we got some money we need you to take care of. I said, really? I'll be right over. No problem. Let me handle that. But what I'm saying is all of that without me knowing how, without me knowing, what source and all of this. If you stay dependent on God for guidance, don't just get the what, stay long enough to get the how. Because it's when you look, it said that after Jehoshaphat and them, they stood. How long will we stand? He stood long enough to tell them what was going on, but they stayed there long enough to hear from Jehaziel when God spoke on how. Let's not be in such a rush, you all. Don't you know God know how long you're going to live? Oh, Lord, I need to get this thing, before it's too late. Too late? What's too late? He can renew your strength. You can mount up on wings like an eagle. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. Well, I'm getting older. And? I know, I'm going to quit tonight. I'm nowhere near finished, but I'm going to quit tonight. I'm just saying, you all, Guidance is part of you relying upon God for him being who he is. That's when it comes. You keep saying stand still. Take your hands off stuff. It's just like God going, leave it alone. I got this. And let him do it the way he want to do it. You know what? I'm going to quit. I am living now. He's giving you richly all things to enjoy. What I'm trying to do is enjoy people's company. I'm trying to enjoy. I'm being honest. What I'm trying to do now and for the rest of my life, I feel like I've gotten older and I've learned some things. So the things that I'm learning now is, okay, I'm making experiences. Okay, all of us in here have parents or have had parents. When our parents go on, what do you have left? Okay, forget the money that they may leave you, if they leave you some money. Forget the things they may leave you, if they leave you things. What about the experiences? Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
What is God doing in our lives? Jesus went on to be with the Father, but he's constantly creating experiences in your life. Because the experiences will hold you over till you get with him. Jesus, I mean, think about it. He didn't give us a whole lot of stuff as in, you know, you got this big bankroll or whatever. But look at the experiences you have with God. That's why you hear him writing songs like, I know too much about it. It's the experiences I've had with it. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. So what kind of experiences are you cultivating with God? It ain't just get saved and die. Since you're still here, what kind of experiences? See, these are the miracles that move you forward. What kind of miraculous moments are you having with God that are moving you forward where you can't even go back and think like you used to? Oh, Pastor, you're just out there. Really? He says renew your mind. He's giving you experiences to renew your mind about him. I can't think like I used to. My mind is renewed. You don't know what experience I had with God. Now I know I can trust him. Now I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Now I know he'll provide for me. See, these are my experiences. It was miraculous moments where God moved me forward where I can't go back where I used to be. See, people that backslide, well, you need a miraculous moment. The Bible says this, and I'm done tonight. I'm done. Moses knew God's ways. Israel knew God's acts. People backslide when they only know the acts and not the ways. People, that's why people say, I want the power of God. Yeah, you want the power of God to see something happen, but you know, that ain't enough. Why does God use his power? See, then you know his ways.